All right, well, let's pray. So, Father, we do thank you. We want to praise you tonight. We want to give you all blessing and honor and glory because, God, you're the only one that deserves it. Jesus, you're the only one that deserves it. Holy Spirit, you deserve it. So we thank you for all your activities. We thank you for your lead, your guide. We thank you for all of the things that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for what's happening on this mountain. Lord, I just think we have no idea what you've got in store for the days ahead. So, God, we just thank you for that. And, Lord, as we do lift our praises, we also come to you with our petitions. We have needs. We think of those that we've mentioned. For Miss Gail going for tests, we think of Alan going for tests and dealing with pain in his sternum area. We think of Sherry and her husband that are just dealing with just sickness after sickness. Lord, we just put all of that at your feet. And Lord, for those that are dealing with the sickness and the issues with the medical tests, Lord, they're looking, as we said last week, for Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. So God, we just ask you to be that in those situations. And Lord, for those that are, they might not need a physical healing, they need a spiritual healing, God, I just ask that you'll begin to speak to them. Lord, bend their minds, bend their hearts toward you. Holy Spirit, you know what needs to take place. So Father, we just ask you for these things tonight. Father, with our time tonight, may we learn, may we grow, and may we give you all praise and honor and glory. We love you and we pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen. So, most of you sitting here are going to be in the Experiencing God class, okay? And what we had talked about was pausing Matthew because of the Experiencing God. But if there's enough of you who still want me to keep going with Matthew, I can do that and then come back and catch the Experiencing God people up later, because that's going to be tough on them to sit through 2.5 hours of teaching. Or we can pause Matthew for 12 weeks and then pick it back up on Sunday night. So if you already voted in the Experiencing God, then keep your hands down. But if you would like to pause it and then pick back up in 12 or 13 weeks, because it actually be 13 because of Carpenters for Christ, then we can do that.
That was done before too, wasn't it?
Yeah. My original, and I'll just tell you, my original intent, I didn't want to pause it. But then we have such a large number of people that want to go through Experiencing God. Because we got two classes. We got Wednesday night's going to meet. We got Sunday night's going to meet. So I don't want to be an interference to that, is what I'm saying. So talk to me before I get started.
Is there an option for people who aren't interested in Experiencing God, but they still want to come and possibly do something else? I mean,
continue the Matthew study or another study?
I'm asking if there is an option.
Well, all right. So the option is we pause it and pick it back up later, okay. Or I keep rolling, and those that go through Experiencing God that still want to get the ending of Matthew, then I'll come back at a later date and catch you up. So that's option A, option B. No. That's too complex. Yeah. And look, this is a good thing. Don't look at this as a negative thing or anything. This is a great thing. It really is. You know, there's a lot of churches out there that don't have this issue. So I'm just being honest with you. And me, where I'm at, I want to give you guys what's going to work best, okay? I want to do whatever's, because myself and Shannon, we're going to go to the Wednesday night Experiencing God, so I'm free on Sunday. So I'll keep rolling and then come back if I need to. and catch up to experiencing God, folks. I got. All right, so there's a pause. Anybody else for the pause? Hey. Anybody going to get mad if we pause it? It's funny. It's funny. Juan grins and raises his hand, and then everybody else is going, no, we'll be all right. We'll be all right. All right, so here's the deal. We're going to finish up 23, not tonight. So we got two more weeks. So y'all think about it, pray about it, and we'll make an official decision next Sunday night. Okay?
I think you need to pause it because, experiencing God is a really good stuff. Mm-hmm. I did it before, and it's a good stuff. And being all these people committed to it, it's great. It's great.
Right. And that's why I don't want to, right. I don't want to, and like what was brought up, if you go through experiencing God and then you take notes on Matthew and you want to go home and look at that, then now you got double the stuff to look at. So I just didn't, it's not one of the things we thought we would be facing when we started talking about it, but it's great. It really is great, the impact. Good things, y'all. So as far as Matthew goes, we're not going to stop in the middle of a chapter, so it's going to take two more weeks to do 23. And then if we decide to pause, then I'll announce that next week. Because there's only five more chapters, right? You say that like, oh, only five more chapters. It just depends. Anyway, I felt like I should, because I asked the Experiencing God group the same question. I felt like I should ask you guys that to be fair across the board, and so that everybody kind of knew where we were at and what we were thinking. Okay, so next Sunday night, we will finish up chapter 23, and we will decide whether we're going to keep rolling for those that want to, or we're just going to pause altogether. Does that make sense? All right, some of you yawning, that means go, right? If you have your Bible, go with me to chapter 23 of Matthew. Last week we got through 1 through 12, and I did that on purpose because I didn't want to jump into the rest of the chapter because it's where Jesus switches to some pretty significant and some pretty harsh language, right? Directed towards who? Say that louder. Scribes and Pharisees, okay? And you know we want to say that we feel bad for them, and in some ways I do, but in other ways I do not, because he's really just speaking truth to them. And sometimes truth is necessary. We might not like to hear it, but it's still necessary, right? So the things that Jesus is going to say directly to them, right, were necessary for them. And some people say, well, what, was he being harsh in a manner, what would we say, in a negative or demeaning way? Because, you see this word hypocrite repeated, right? Was Jesus being demeaning to them? No, he was really pointing out, if you remember from last week, we defined what a hypocrite is, right? And he told the disciples and he told those around him, close to him, what did he say? Look, observe and pay attention to what they're teaching, okay? Observe and pay attention to the law, but then ignore what? What they're doing, right? And then he follows it up, and we'll look at this tonight. This word's repeated, hypocrites, right? Is he like being demeaning to them? No, he's just reminding the people listening and reminding them that, hey, the reason I'm using this harsh word with you, the reason I'm using this harsh language with you is because you're supposed to be the ones carrying the law, but yet you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing with it. Instead, you're doing what you think is right, what you want to do. And it, so Jesus looks at him and says, you're messing up. Stop doing it. That's why he repeats it over and over and over. He's not looking at them in this demeaning manner. He's looking at them and he's repeating that because he really is trying to drive it home to them that, look, you got to change. It's kind of like I joke and say, it's this proverbial grabbing of the shirt collar thing, right? Hey, you scribes and Pharisees, stop. Because you're wrong. You're in the wrong. You're not right. Wake up. Wake up. Let's stop. Yes, bro.
Well, once again, Jesus' teaching
yep.
was always focused on restoration and correction,
yep.
not on judgment. He said to himself, I don't judge anyone. It was on trying to get back on the path.
But what's the key to that? If I'm in the wrong and Carol recognizes it and she comes and says something to me about that, but I don't recognize the truth in what she's telling me and then do something about it, then who's the right and who's the wrong in that situation, right? Not Carol, right? Me, right? So Jesus is trying to teach these scribes and Pharisees some very important lessons. So let's just read one at a time. How's that sound? Verse 13, it says, now before I read that, remember, what is a woe? All right, it's an expression of what? Grief or denunciation. It includes God's wrath and immense sorrow. In other words, when Jesus says that, he's hurting because of their action, right? And he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Hang on, I went too far, y'all. And then there's that word, right? And I want you to see this. It's an exclamation point. And when we see, I've heard people say, when you see that in the Bible, that person's shouting, right? Well, this here's not, don't think of it as a shout. Think of it as the passion in the voice. I am mistaken a lot of times when I talk to people that I'm upset. Or I wish Shannon was here. She would tell you. She'd say, why are you so upset? Or why are you raising your voice? I say, I'm not upset. I'm just passionate. Right? So this is... Carol's got this look on her face like she just bit off a lemon. And that's what I want you to see here. I think Jesus, when he's saying this, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, it's this. He realizes just how depraved they are. And he realizes just how desperate they need to hear the truth, right? So he's not shouting at them. He's not going, you hypocrites. It's more of a, God, you just don't get it. Anyway. Yep. Yep. Yeah, that's why I say the shirt collar thing. Like, you know. All right, continue on. For you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Now, what's that saying? Y'all share with me tonight. Somebody tell me when you hear that, what you think that's about. What is he saying to the scribes and the Pharisees?
But they are, what they are teaching is leading the people astray to the point where they won't be able to get into heaven.
Okay.
I look at the modern churches with Mr. Teeth and
Yeah.
Even though what they're doing is so very wrong, because they're going to have to stand before the throne and explain to God why they lied to people and caused them damnation.
Yeah.
Well, and we need to look at the context. The truth was standing in front of them,
mm-hmm.
speaking to them.
So
they shut themselves away from that and tried to keep others from hearing it too.
All right, so that closing of the door, that closing off of the kingdom, what were they actually doing that Jesus was talking about? We talked about this over the past couple of weeks. They were more concerned with whose righteousness?
Their own,
right? Well, guess what? By doing that, whose righteousness were they ignoring? Therefore, closing the door or the opportunity for those who what? That might want to hear truth and want to see truth and experience truth. Yes, Reed.
The ultimate fulfillment of what he's saying here is that they refused to follow him and crucified him so nobody else could.
Right. Yep. And in doing so, as Sue said, what did they do? They took somebody that might have really wanted known or might have been susceptible to the truth. And did what? Put a barrier up, put a door up, put a wall up to where they said, well, they must be right. They must be right.
But I do wonder how many of these guys changed their tune when they found out the tune was empty.
Yeah, that door rolled aside.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And it says, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. You know what that's speaking about?
It's just a stumbling block they put in for the sinners that want to come to repentance.
Mm-hmm. What are those stumbling blocks, Juan? All their little extra ceremonies, all their extra little rules, right? The legalistic mindset, the religious mindset. Because really, now here's where it comes home. Do we still face the same stumbling blocks today?
And sometimes we ourselves are stumbling blocks for others because sometimes we play a Christianity and others for others to see, but later on, I mean, sometimes we stumble and they see that.
Yep.
Without, you know,
yep.
And it's a stumbling block.
Yeah, can be. Yep, absolutely. I saw another hand somewhere.
I was just thinking about Harry. He was talking about you won't allow others to come in. And later on, after he was ascended, Jesus warned his disciples about this. You know, they'll lock you out of the synagogue.
Yeah.
They're going to try to keep you from following me.
Mm-hmm. So my wife always says or makes these statements a whole lot more eloquently than I can. But she always talks or has said several times, even here, but for years I can remember, when this idea of being a stumbling block or shutting the door to somebody else comes up, she will very quickly turn to this, we got our salvation, right? So we're okay. And then somebody comes through the doors that we don't know them. We never met them. We don't know, you know, we don't know them, right? But yet within 5 minutes of them walking through the door, boy, we sure do want them to look like us. We want them to act like us, right? So we'll make statements of like, why are you doing that? You shouldn't do that. Well, guess what? Maybe that person's lost and don't know Jesus. Maybe that person never heard the Word of God. No, maybe that person had never heard the law. So by being religious or having a legalistic approach to something, we do what? We're closing the door. Yeah. So often we want people that we don't know, right? As Christians, I'm saying, to look like us, act like us, walk like us, talk like us, smell like us. Right? But guess what? Guess what? They may not have the knowledge and the things that we have, and so they don't know. They don't know. But we're so quick to point out what they're doing wrong, right? But Jesus here, even with the scribes and Pharisees, what's he doing? He's trying to point out the truth in hopes that they themselves will recognize, wait a minute, this is different. This is different. And what happens to their mind? What happens to somebody's mind? They start questioning. They start saying, well, God, why is Renee the way she is? Right? Why is Audrey the way she is? Why is that crazy guy up there talking all the time? Why is he that way? Right? And to me, that if we take that approach, right, versus the, well, you'll cut, why are you sitting there? You know? And we just got to be careful. We got to be, so that's the lesson, I think, for us, is because we can find ourselves doing the same thing that these scribes and Pharisees were doing, and not even mean to, not even intend to, right? What was that? Sound like a bird hit the door or something. All right, let's look at the next one. Do any of your Bibles include 14? All right, so some translations will have a 14 and some will not. It'll be in your footnote probably. All right, so why do you think that is? All right, so not all the ancient texts will include what we have in verse 14. For Matthew, but you will find it where? In Mark. Mark 12:40. So who had it included in, or do you have King James?
Yes.
New American Standard. Does King James have it? In the brackets, like. And then gives you a footnote that says, oh, some translations won't include this, others won't. No, read it. One of you, read it.
Yeah. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a present pretense make long prayers, therefore ye shall receive the greatest damnation.
Woo! So, we know that it was included in Mark, right? So there was teaching there. What we don't know is why Matthew didn't include it, right? But what was that woe? You remember I said most of them have seven, or Matthew has seven, but Mark has eight. This is the eighth one. It deals with widows, right? And how they handle widows. And then what else? What was the second one?
Long prayer.
The long prayers. 12:40. Mark chapter 12, verse 40. If you find it, read it. Okay. So what does that verse say? Devour widows' houses. Taking advantage of their situation. All right. So what does that mean, though? What do you think these scribes and Pharisees were doing? All right. They wanted to give the appearance that they really cared about the widows, but what they would do was come in and in a roundabout way convince the widows that hey, we'll take care of you. We'll take care of you, but what we want you to do is what all your husband has left you, we would like for you to share that with the what? Temple? Or with the what? Teaching that we do on a day-to-day basis. Does that sound like something that still occurs? Do you think that people today that are doing that probably learned that because it didn't stop? It just continued?
And you know what? That's not the worst of it. The worst of it is that people see that
and
blame Jesus right. instead of those perpetrators.
Yep. And think it's okay.
It's become easier today than it ever was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Randy mentioned that when we was talking about experiencing God. They got internet, you got cell phones, you got all these ways that people can come in, right, and fool you under the pretense of something good, right? Okay, so basically these scribes and Pharisees were using their position to do what? Take advantage of the widows, okay? And most of the time, and I think it might have been Brian Hupp that mentioned this, what did they really have? Did they have what we think of as money? No, they had property. They had a home, and that's what that verse says. Right? They were taking what? The widows' houses. In other words, they were taking their inheritance.
Yep. Or, the whole thing about the marrying
the
childless widow.
Yep. All right, and then the second part of that was the long prayers. And we've already talked about this, so I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on that. But why would Jesus scold them for that? What were they doing? Why would they give these big, long, eloquent prayers?
Because they weren't really talking to God. They were talking for the benefit
of the audience. For the benefit, yep. And they were wanting people to recognize again. Yep. So. Here's the thing about all these woes, what you'll find out. One of the things that Jesus is addressing is what? The theology, if you want to use that word, the laws that they were teaching had nothing to do with absolute obedience to the original law, but had everything to do with if you work hard enough, right, then you'll be accepted. That's a work-based faith. That's why Jesus used harsh words like, hey, you hypocrites, you know? Because and again, it's his passion here. It's his desire for them to really hear what he's trying to say to them. Now, we know what? Randy already mentioned it. They didn't really hear him, did they? Because remember, we're building up. Very, very soon after all this happens, where did Jesus find himself? Captured, scourged, beaten, tortured, questioned, put on mock trial, and then eventually what?
Crucified.
Now, scribes and Pharisees, Jew or Gentile?
Jew.
He's talking to who? His own people. And yet they did what? Didn't want anything to do with him. Yes, Brian.
Jews in name only.
Oh, yeah.
He talked about that. He said, you know, these people draw near to me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from
me. What's the harshest words in that verse? The very ending of it, right? If what he's saying is, if you're one of the ones doing this, look at what you're going to face if you don't fix your ways. The greatest what? Damn it. I don't know. Some people read into that and they say, well, there's got to be levels, right? There's got to be levels. I don't know. Not God. I read that and I say, look, that you know what? When it comes to that judgment day, and if you're one of the ones found to do that, God's really going to look poorly on you and who you are in your heart, right? All right, 15. Everybody's got that one, right? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. There's our word again, right? Hypocrites. For you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Whoa.
Yeah.
Y'all want to stop and go home? Because it's almost hard to read this. All right. Good question. What's a proselyte? Okay, so, or it can be someone who's converted to your theology. In this context, though, Sue is correct. Can I add a few words to that? Completely. Now, what does that mean for a male? Circumcision. That means they have gone through everything that they can, right? So it's the scribes and the Pharisees, the Jew, that have gone out and sought what? Other Jews, but also Gentiles, and they have converted them to what? Their religion, their way, to include all the practices, right? All the oaths, all that stuff. Yes, basically. We would call that what? I didn't hear what he said. Oh. We would call that evangelism, to be honest with you. So put that word in there. What does it say? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land evangelizing. And when you evangelize someone, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. All right? Our evangelism, I hope, is different than their evangelism. Why? Because our evangelism is pointing them to Jesus. Their evangelism was pointing them away from Jesus. Their evangelism was pointing them to what? Their systems, their practices, all their laws, they wanted them to think, even to include the Ten Commandments, right? Yes, Randy.
I think this kind of ties back to where he said, my mind just blanked out a little bit.
I paused too long, and so it made him lose his train of thought. Yes, sir.
This is one of the reasons that I really don't like the phrase, he led me to Christ, or, I led them to Christ. God's Holy Spirit led them to Christ.
Right.
So, know the right and the wrong, but do the wrong, and the ones they cross the line think that the wrong is right, so they're twice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I'm just going to say it. I want to try to be sensitive, but I'm not going to tiptoe around it. Think of Jehovah's Witness. Think of Jesus, the Church of Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints. What they say is, hey, those other Protestants over there, they got it wrong, we got it right. They got it wrong, we got it right. Guess what we do even in our own Protestant denominations? We do the same thing sometimes, don't we?
There's just going to be so many people.
Yeah.
Go to heaven.
Yeah, yep. And so this is what Jesus is speaking to and addressing, right? Again, where do you think those practices came from?
Well,
It's historical, y'all. It's not just something new, right? What they call it might be new, but the practice of teaching improper theology and getting people to buy into that improper theology and then telling them that your way is right and everyone else is wrong is what Jesus is speaking against. Does anybody ever ask you, say, well, how do you know that you're right there, Christian?
Because it's right there in the Word.
Right, right. That's not an easy thing to answer, is it? It's not an easy thing to answer. But what does this verse say at the end? You make them twice as much. Look, they're already lost, right? So they're already lost. So a lost person that has not found God, has not found Jesus, what is their damnation? Which is hell. So they're there, right? Now they have been led to believe this is the truth, but it's not the truth, right? So what's their damnation? Has it changed? So that's what that means, right? They're already set to go to hell because they haven't found or they haven't given their life, and I'll bring it to modern times, to Jesus, to Christ, right? Which is what Jesus is saying to them. But now they're following a theology that might have enough sprinkling of the Bible, might have enough sprinkling of the truth, right, to draw them in. But the reality is, it's not the truth.
But who's at fault?
Who's at fault?
The Pharisees, because...
And that's what Jesus is saying to them.
Right here he says, the Pharisees often so proselytes for the sake of their own gain under the disguise of religion.
Yep.
So they were the ones that did, but they were not the really, the laws wanted to find
yep.
salvation, but the Pharisees trying to gain religion's highness.
All right. So when we evangelize, what should be our purpose for that? Is it to grow our church?
No.
It's to grow the kingdom.
Right.
We want somebody to truly give their life to Christ, and because of that, guess what? We have a new brother and sister in Christ, and the kingdom grows. Their reason for doing it was what?
Gain.
They wanted the status.
Yes.
Look at our church, or look at our bank account, or you know what I'm saying? So it was all about them. It was all about the work-based. It was all about the self-righteousness that they promoted. Hang on, let go, Randy. I don't want him to lose his thought again.
Well, I think it shows the importance. We've got to be real careful about teaching in a way that makes lost people think they're saved.
Yes. Yep. Right. Now they think they're living in the truth. So they stop searching. So guess what? They're just that's their lot. That's their result. That's it. And it ought to scare us, Randy. That's what Jesus was saying to the scribes and Pharisees. This ought to I mean, we read it and everybody went, "Oh my goodness." What do you think they felt like hearing this? Yeah.
It's putting butts in seats, not putting hearts in heaven. That's driving our
large extent, not everywhere, but to a large extent in America, is driving the motivation of the church.
Yep.
In quotes, evangelism.
Right. Evangelism done properly grows the kingdom, right? Evangelism any other way grows what?
Coffers
or the buildings or the, you know? And like Juan said, who's really at fault there? Whoever's doing that, right? And guess what? The scribes and Pharisees were supposed to be the one. They knew the word. They knew the law. But yet they were doing what? Using it for their own gain. Using it for their own glory. Their own self-righteousness. And guess what? Taking others with them. That ought to really, it ought to break our heart, but then it ought to not scare us, but it ought to at least make us pay attention to make sure that when we go out here in the name of Jesus Christ, that that's really what we're doing, right? We're going out here in the name of Jesus Christ, right?
I noticed, a lot of evangelism. My wife, she's from Florida, and Florida's very famous for that. And she said the main thing she noticed when she was in Florida was it was about not only getting people there, but it was about getting their money.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And that was the main thing. It wasn't about saving somebody's soul or trying to help them with the money.
Yeah.
And I see that, with the Pharisees.
So we're in the middle of rewriting our bylaws. And one of the things we're going to put in there is that every member of our church has got to submit their tax documents every year. I'm not going to call any out, but there are churches that require that of their members. So again, I'm not saying that to put any kind of legalistic mindset or, because we could look at that and we could say, well, you don't need to do that. I don't really understand their reasoning. To me, it doesn't align with the word. It doesn't align with proper theology. But the dangers. Yep. The dangers in that. Is when we get so concerned about who we are instead of who he is, we get lost. We get outside of what God wants us to be. And we just have to be cautious. By the way, we're not putting that in the bylaws. I hope y'all saw that as a joke. I can hear it now. Well, the gossip at, I know. The gossip. I'm going to get to Tunnel Town on my way home to get a drink or something. Somebody said, I heard you told them up there they're going to have to do. I'm going to stop because I don't want to keep you any longer and run out of time.
And then, after they had their initial announcements or whatever, the elder that he made the deal with said, well, I'd like to introduce you to our new pastor.
And who really knows the heart? Only God. Only God. And look, y'all, we read this and we see this as harsh, but I don't want you to necessarily see it as harsh, but this is a loving God revealing honest, open truth to people who desperately needed to be told that truth, to hear that truth. Now, yeah, again, that's why I said a loving God, right? God told them this. Again, don't think of him pointing his finger at them when he calls them hypocrites. It's more about his heart and his passion for them to say, look, you've been teaching this. You're the one God has entrusted with delivering this message to the people, and you're messing it up. Sometimes we need somebody to really speak truth to us, even if it hurts, even if we don't like to hear it, right? But if it's true, and if it helps us, then we need to be ready to hear it. Yes, Ray. Yeah. In reality, he took care of it, didn't he? He probably said the strongest, most powerful message that the people heard that day. Right? When we study God's word, y'all, our heart and our mind has got to be willing to accept what it's saying. And if you read those things tonight, and it has said something to you, don't be mad about it. See it as your Father who loves you, trying to what? Tweak you, correct you, turn you in a direction that he knows is the best for you. So often we tell God, well, I got this. You got me this far, I can handle it from here, right? Right? But when we start thinking that way and we refuse to change our mindset and our heart set, then we get ourselves in trouble in a hurry. And I've said this before, and we might do this one day. I don't know. I keep praying about it. But there's a book called Accidental Pharisee. And that whole book, Osborne is the author, Pastor Osborne, wrote that book. And in that book, he talks about how we have to guard and protect ourselves from becoming like the scribes and the Pharisees.
Protect our potential victims.
Yeah. And the reason he says accidental, because we do those things and don't even realize that we're doing them. Because we think that we are, as we were talking earlier, we're right. I got this. We're right. Who's truly correct? Jesus. Who's truly correct? Jesus.
Well, one thing I love is hearing Jesus say this himself and all the woes. And yes, it's like, ooh, you know.
Yeah.
And 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness,
that's
that
right.
The man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And there we have even others after Jesus saying that, going
yeah.
back to his very
right. words. Yep. And it, when you embrace it and you realize, boy, doesn't it become powerful? It really does. And we use words like fear and it ought to scare us. Okay, if you want to use those words, that's fine. But humility and draw us what? Closer to Jesus? Because remember, the closer we get to Jesus, yeah, absolutely. But the more we will do what? We'll begin to act, not in a fake manner, but we'll begin to do things in the same manner that he does things. To love, to extend mercy, to extend grace, all those things. People will begin to see what? The fruits of the Spirit in our life. Now, when we over here and Jesus is way over there, that makes that more difficult, doesn't it? Makes that more difficult.
Mm. Is it this chapter where it talks about tithing, mint, and cumin?
Yep, that's coming in two more woes, I think.
You should have done these without neglecting the other.
Yeah. It's where it talks about a gnat and all that good stuff. We'll get to that next week. That's why I say we won't finish in the middle of a chapter. So we'll finish the woes next week. We'll finish chapter 23, and I'll let you know what we're going to do. Any other questions or comments about tonight? All right. Can we pray and we'll go home? Some of y'all look tired. Y'all didn't get a nap today? All right. Y'all pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for loving us in such a way, Lord, that we don't even understand always. But Lord, we know without a doubt that you are there for us. Jesus, we know without a doubt that you did and you're still doing everything for us. So we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us, direct us, teach us. Lord, I pray that something we talked about tonight may have turned a mirror. And maybe we saw something that's just not right. But Lord, may we not just see it, may we recognize it and then seek what? Forgiveness, and then seek your help in correcting our error, correcting our way. Father, may we speak about Jesus, may we speak about our Savior in a manner that draws people to Christ, that helps the Spirit draw people to Christ instead of sends them the other way. So, Father, we just pray that as we go, you'll use us. May we be obedient and bless you through that. And Lord, as we just heard from your word, may everything that we do be focused on the good work for the kingdom. So as we go tonight, Father, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. And we pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen.